One second. Yeah, baby!
Ew. Stir my drink.
Yep. Mm. Oh, I hear it.
Woo. Hi, guys. It's Aaron.
And Nicole. This is Dude That's Fucked Up.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, my God. Whew. I hope good.
I hope good. What a fun time we have for you guys today. Let's see what we got going on before we do the show. Hey, we fucked around with our website, refreshed it a little bit. Check that out. I think we have some like new sections. We like reorganized it a little bit.
Yeah, we like consolidated some stuff.
Yeah, just like tightened it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And most importantly, we got some new merch on there for you guys.
Oh my God. We got to talk about this.
You guys, we commissioned some new artwork from our friend.
A listener who is now our friend, but we did not know before this.
I'm calling her my friend because...
No, she's our friend.
She's our friend, yeah.
Yeah, we video chatted with her. She's
It was so much fun.
Yeah, she's so cool.
Our friend Amanda from Close Call Studio made just the most amazing artwork for us. It's you've seen it. If you've seen our YouTube intro, you've seen the artwork. It's like it's got Benny Franks. It's got Bigfoot. It's got all the... things that really epitomize the podcast in a, you know, beautiful illustration for your eyes.
Yeah. So it's all the faves. It's all your faves. And she hand drew all these. And yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, the like border artwork, every like it's so good. And that's not even, I mean, that's just like the tip of the iceberg. There's butts, there's titties, there's farts.
There's piles of poop. Yeah. There's jars of weird things. Who knows what's in there? Maybe piss. I don't know.
Maybe it's a piss jar.
Yeah.
I think it's a beer can.
Howard Hughes, eat your heart out. I don't know. he liked to piss in jars.
He did, yeah.
So check out our merch section on the website, our store. You just like at the very top of the website, there's either if you're on your phone, there's a little hamburger menu up in the corner, or if you're on a desktop, it's at the very top. There's, you know, navigation, or there's buttons on the very front.
You're not gonna miss it.
You're not gonna miss it.
Three options to get to this bandana you should
I'm
buy,
telling you guys how to use the internet right now. Shut up, Aaron. God, idiot.
It's like literally you cannot miss merch when you go to our website.
Yeah.
You're going to see it. It's going to be
great. You're going to see it. Yeah. Yeah. So check it out. There's two colors. There's black and white and gold and black. Gold, whatever.
Oh, my God.
And they're so cool. I should have grabbed one to hold up for you guys if you're watching YouTube. But I was like, you know what? Like, not everybody could see this. I don't want to be rude to everybody. Yeah. So, you know, just go to the website yourself.
Also, she took, like, a professional photo of it, and, like, it's so good. So, yeah,
Amanda did everything for us. Yeah. You should check out her website. Just, like, go to closecallstudio.com and, like, see all her shit. It's awesome.
We have so much merch from her that we've, like, personally bought, and that also she sent us. So, excuse me, I'm a big fan. Also, what was I gonna say? I don't know. Who cares?
Who knows? But yeah, I bandanas are great for fashion, for wearing on your face to help
in your hair.
Protect yourself in your hair. Like, I'm not saying use a bandana as a COVID protection because that's not necessarily like the safest best. Thing, but. Yeah. Just, you know,
maybe you're working in your garden and there's dirt and you just want to use a bandana. Maybe.
Yeah. What if you have those fucking pube caterpillars in your yard and you're trying to like avoid them getting pubes on your face? Get them out of here.
Get them out of here. So also we mentioned last week we're hosting a postcarding party. That's also information you can find on the website. We yes. have a link that you could sign up that's actually being hosted by NARAL. And there's also a link within that link to order your postcards. So you don't even have to pay for postcards. They'll send them to you. You'll get a pack of 40. Or if you want, you can get more than that. But they come in packs of 40. All the postage is prepaid. It's great. And so
as soon as you hear this, like, get on it because yeah. you want the postcards as soon as possible, so you'll be yeah. ready for the postcard party. You'll have them. They'll send them out to you. You'll have them in your possession, and then when we do our postcard party on September 6th on mm-hmm. Sunday, September 6th at 11:30 a.m. yep. our time, Pacific
yep.
time.
Yep.
You'll be ready. You'll have your stack of postcards. You'll have your fun pens. So also just check out our website for more information on that. Check it out.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun. I love postcarding. It's so fun. Oh,
it's great.
Oh, you get to use all your fancy pens. And
do you guys have fancy pens? Get your fancy pens out.
I got two. These are my postcarding pens right here. I got a purple one and a black one. Sometimes I like to use black if I'm just feeling like, oh, I want a clean, crisp, traditional. Mm-hmm. I have some other colors too, but these are the ones I've been using. But I just want like very traditional, serious. This is a serious moment. We need to be ahead of the game. We need to be electing pro-choice officials into office using our vote. And that's one. Then I have purple. And purple's like, oh my gosh, did you know that people are trying to come out here and tell us that we can't do what we want with our fucking bodies? No, bitch. Use the purple pen to tell them what's up. You know what I
Listen,
mean?
Listen, Janet, I know you know what's up. Here's my purple ass pen giving you the what for.
Yeah. The what the fuck? We need to move on from this, and we need to move on fast.
We're in hell, guys. We need to. Yeah. We need to get out. We gotta. Ugh,
I know.
Swim out.
Oh, let's go. Yeah.
Postcards. It's gonna help. Postcards. Every little bit.
It will. It helps. Yeah. And also, it'll make you feel good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anything fucked up for you this week?
Oh my god. I have so many things, but I think I'll just, like, stick with one thing.
Okay. I'm very excited to hear this.
I got an invite today via text message. First of all, I got a text message, and my mom was like, oh, my God, you have to look at this. And I was like, oh, my God. But then I also got it. So it's an invite to my grandfather's wife's 50th birthday.
Cute.
Or a not party. Cute. Well, I mean, like, what the fuck? It's at a restaurant. It's a bunch of people I've never met, and it's definitely not people we've all been quarantining with. My grandfather's 89 years old.
Oh, this is like coming up soon?
Oh, this is like in 2 weeks. Yeah.
No, bitch.
I know.
What is she thinking?
I don't know. So anyway, that was like my fucked up thing of the week, and I'm sure it's going to continue. And I know I'm not going to be able to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to say something, and then my grandpa's going to get mad and send me like a text message that he's disappointed, which is fine. But it's just like, I know it's coming. So I'll give an update at the postcarding party of how this went.
Perfect. Great.
Okay. Love it. All right. What about you? What's
That's incentive for everybody to join.
Yeah, that is incentive. The only way to find out is to send pro-choice postcards. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's see. My fucked up of the week. Okay. So our two cats are fucking insane. You know, like they're like in their teenage
years. They're kids. Oh, yeah.
They're getting wild. So we usually lock them out of our bedroom every night. Like we have two doors to our bedroom that we like have to keep closed, or else they'll just be like running in and out of the bedroom, like literally galloping, like throwing themselves on the bed and then jumping off and then clawing our feet and
oh my God.
Wrestling around, whatever.
Yeah.
So we always lock them out. So the other night, we like to keep our door open to the outside so that we get a nice breeze in because we don't have air conditioning and it's hot as fuck. But at night it cools down.
Yeah.
So, but if we keep that door open, the cats know how to get out of the screen door also. They're fucking – they're a pain in the ass. They're just real assholes. So, so we have to keep them out if we ever want to have the door open for a breeze. So the other night they're out. They're locked out. but we have the door open, the screens closed, whatever. And around 3 a.m, I wake up to the sound of clawing at the screen door. And I'm like, oh, fuck. The cat somehow got in. God damn it. Like,
yeah.
I knew I didn't close the door all the way. So I wake up. I'm a really light sleeper. I wake up and I look and I'm like, get out of here. Go, go. And I look and it's on the other side of the screen door is something is clawing at the
door. Oh, like outside?
Yeah.
Oh.
Trying to get in.
Oh, no.
And I look and I was like, oh, no. Is that a cat?
The cat got out? Yeah.
And then I wake up fully and I'm like, no, that's not a cat. It's huge. I thought it was a dog. And I was like, wait. Wake up more because there's no way a dog could get up to the second floor.
Yeah.
I wake up more and it's a fucking big ass raccoon just trying to open the screen door.
With
trying
its to raccoon pump hands? His little, oh my God. Ooh, yeah. Oh no. That's so creepy.
And I'm like, ah. I jump out of bed and I'm like, go on, get up. Get out of here, God damn it.
You raccoon.
You goddamn raccoon. Get out of here.
Get with your tiny hands.
It just like looks at me and it's like, like it didn't even care. It didn't care at all. It was not scared of me. It just stared at me and kept trying to get in. And I finally like jumped at it. Like I like yelled and like stomped my feet and it ran away. And then I heard it like running on the roof and I was like, oh my God. Fucking God. We're surrounded by wild animals here.
Oh my God.
In the middle of Long Beach. But yeah. Oh man. That was the rude awakening. And DJ like he's just dead asleep. And I was like, DJ, wake up. A raccoon tried to come in the house. He's like, No, that didn't happen. But he was trying to joke in his sleep, you know? Like he was ripping in his sleep. And he did see that there was a raccoon and he was trying to tease me, but it was,
yeah,
I was like, fuck
oh my
you.
God. Oh my God.
So that was fun.
Ew. And then you can't get back to sleep because your adrenaline's pumping and a raccoon is just trying to like join your family.
I know. I was like, oh my God, what would have happened if it would have just like literally, it was 2 seconds away from opening the screen door. Like it was going to get in. Like what the fuck was I going to do about that?
Does your screen door lock?
No. So it's like magnets.
Right. Yeah.
And so if all you have to do is just like pop it open and then it'll just slide open. Like it's supposed to be convenient and nice, but it's not.
Oh my God.
I know. We need another solution. I don't know.
Maybe you need like a baby gate behind it or something. Like,
yeah.
Or like a second screen that's like a regular screen that you could close just at night so that they can't get through.
I don't know what we need to do, but fucking hell. God. So now that's scary. Super paranoid of fucking raccoons. Trying to bust in.
Oh my God. Like you're going to wake up and it's just going to be like on the edge of your bed, like eating a snack or something.
I mean, I think they're cute. I really like raccoons. I just don't, I don't necessarily
you don't
want
them in your house.
Them in my
it's
house.
A rodent. Yeah. We don't know. They've been in people's trash cans right before they came to your house.
Rabies too.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was crazy.
No. They were just in a trash can and then they came and like, are going to put their hands on your duvet. And then it's like, oh, get
absolutely
out.
Not. I know. You little fucker. Oh my God. I do love raccoons, but not in this context. So,
yeah. Mm. I like cartoon raccoons. Raccoons? I don't know.
That's cute.
Anyway,
should we talk about our topic?
Yeah, let's do it. I got to shake off my like angry grandpa stuff.
Yeah, shake it off. Let's loosen up.
My chair is very squeaky too.
I just cracked my neck. Let's Ooh. Get the cocktails flowing through our bodies.
Yeah.
I know how much you guys like mouth noises, so I'll make sure I do that. Just kidding.
Yummy. All right.
This is a listener submitted topic, and
hell yeah.
It's so fun. We were just, I don't know, in reading we read all the things that people suggest, and you know, we do a quick little like rabbit hole on all of the things that people send us.
Yeah.
But this one in particular made me laugh so hard. it's very silly. This is the life and times of Horace de Vere Cole. Exactly. This man was a legendary prankster from the turn of the century, like around the late 19th century into the early 20th century. He was he was popping. He was doing his thing. He was basically the Sacha Baron Cohen of his time.
Oh my God! Yeah, we're gonna get into it, but it's weird to think that people existed like that before Sacha Baron Cohen. Because
I mean, I don't know. It's just proof that there is nothing under the sun that is original or new. It's all the same as it's always been. Like, for example, one of my friends posted all these pictures. I was just telling DJ this, all these pictures of, you know, newspaper articles and pictures from the Spanish flu, like all these like posters about like wear a mask, like and then like newspaper articles about how people are protesting wearing masks. It's literally the same fucking thing. And we just like never, we just have no concept because we think we're so individualistic and think that our current life and times are the only thing that exists. Like there's such a memory hole with everything. Dude, when in reality, there's a whole entire history that we could just use for instruction.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't. So
the whole idea of like America and us being so individualistic is like so wild when you read about how other countries are coping and then how we're coping with everything.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's all very interesting.
Yeah. So all that is to say, there is nothing new under the sun, and this man is no exception. He was out here doing the most, truly. I mean,
like this just makes me think, like, cavemen were lighting their farts on fire. You know what I mean? It's like the second they invented fire, they were lighting farts on fire. You know what I mean? Like, we've been doing this shit forever.
Forever. If we could figure out, if early humans could figure out how to, like, eat food, like, open nuts and shit and figure out that things were edible, they were definitely lighting their farts on fire. Like, 100,000%.
They were fucking, like, you know, cutting a hole in their loincloth and letting their sack hang out and being like, I sent in something sticky.
I sent in sap. Yeah. Ugh, I sat in sap.
Ugh, sat, sap. Huh. Nut, it ball.
Oh, my God. I'm just like envisioning like a Roman or Greek person pretending like they're a sundial and it's their dick. Just oh my God.
Oh my God. A dick sundial? 100%.
Like, you know, like you do the wristwatch dick thing. Like,
Oh my God. Yeah, but it's so elaborate because it's a fucking sundial. So, like, they had to commission someone to, like, build a platform that they could crawl into and then, like, stick their erection through.
They just had to, like, constantly be beating off so they could keep the ruse going.
Oh my God. Oh,
Jesus. Okay. Already crying.
It starts going limp, and someone's like, what is wrong with this sundial?
'Tis melting in the sun.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. So dumb. Okay, so we're going to talk about this legendary prankster. And side note, I fucking hate pranks. I hate April Fool's Day. Yeah. I'm so glad. If there's a single silver lining from the year 2020, it's that April Fool's Day just kind of came and went because everybody decided collectively, like, we can't. We just can't. We're not doing this shit. No. We don't need any pranks. Like, there's nothing nobody needs to do anything. Like, calm down.
Well, and also, like, no one was in the office. So it's like you couldn't show up to your office and, like, they've foil wrapped your entire, you know, desk or whatever. It's like, nope. You just
or put pictures of Nicolas Cage under everybody's mouse so that they, you know, they're like, what's wrong with my mouse? And there's just a face of Nicolas Cage. That's what I did one year. Stupid.
Or you screenshot someone's desktop. This is what my boss did. My boss loved pranks. She would screenshot someone's desktop, hide all their icons in a folder, and like hide their desktop, and then make the picture what the screen used to be, and then people couldn't figure that out. That's kind of funny when it's not you. Yeah.
Well, there's certain pranks that are like pretty good, but then most of the time they're so stupid and I hate them. And they're like, a lot of them are kind of malicious and
yeah, they're always mean. Yeah. Someone always looks stupid and it's rude.
Yeah. So, but this guy was, for the time, pretty, I guess, what can be considered funny. We probably wouldn't think that anything that he did then is at all funny now. There's a couple things, but we'll get to those. So this man, Horace de Vere Cole, was born in Ireland in County Cork on May 5th, 1881. And he was born into a pretty well-to-do and well-connected family. And that's key because I feel like if he was just any, like, fucking piece of shit, he would not have time for this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if he was, like, if he wasn't, like, some fancy lad, he was going to be, like, you need to get to work. It's 4 a.m. and you need to go, like, do your shit and take care of your shit.
Get in the salt mines, you piece of shit. Like, I don't know. He just like working and have a family and live his life. He'd be busy. But this guy was, he was also very eccentric in general. I don't know. Maybe if he was born into a normal family where he didn't have leisure time, he'd be the same way. Who knows?
Yeah.
So he was the son of a British Army officer, William Utting Cole, who was a major in the 3rd Dragoon Guards, and he died of cholera. His dad died of cholera in India when his son was a baby. Yeah.
Well, doesn't William Utting Cole sound – Utting sounds like almost offensive.
Yeah. It's like
– It's like William fucking Cole or something. It's like
Rudding. William? Like you're Rudding in a ditch. I don't know.
Yeah.
His mother, Mary de Vere, was a niece and an heiress of Sir Stephen and Lady de Vere. So, good for her.
Yes.
He was also a great nephew of the Anglo-Irish poet Aubrey de Vere. Good for him.
Yeah, I don't know any of these people, so.
No, but I mean, I think they're famous.
They're fancy. They sound fancy. And shit.
Yeah. And then his paternal grandfather was very wealthy and made his fortune dealing in quinine, which, as we all know, is a very hot thing these days because it's, you know, helps with malaria and whatnot and also other things. But that's where he made his money. And so his mother's family had really good, you know, connections. They were Earls of Oxford and they had all these like titles and shit.
How does an Earl stack up?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I feel like they're below a Duke, maybe.
Yeah, and a Duke is below
a Marquis? No. I don't know. That's Prince? French.
I don't know. Yeah. We don't know.
But they had status basically because of that. Like they could be in the mix if need be, of royalty, I guess. Mm-hmm. So or at least like some pretty high up positions.
Yeah.
In his and as it stands, his sister was married to Neville Chamberlain, who would later become the British Prime Minister in 1937.
Oh, so okay.
He was like it was like a very well-connected family.
Yeah.
When he was 10 years old, he actually contracted diphtheria, which affected his hearing for the remainder of his life. It's like a disease that causes like swelling of your glands, and it could it could be pretty fucked up if it gets advanced. But okay. Back in those days, every kid was getting sick, and so
anything got advanced. Anything, yeah. Everything was advanced.
Yeah, it's yucky. So it was a terrible time. Yeah, but he survived, but it affected his hearing. And then a few years later, he was sent to boarding school at Eton. Yeah, that's like a very famous boarding school.
Yeah,
I think like royalty goes there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like rich people and royalty and mm-hmm. yeah, it's I think I read some speculation that like he may have been sent to boarding school because he was a bit rascally and like his mom was like, you need to fucking knock ship that shit out
or shape up or ship out. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But everyone went to board, like all young men of his age and status went to boarding school, so I don't think that was true, but I'm sure he was rascally as a kid.
Oh, I'm sure he was a real piece of work as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually ended up at Cambridge,
which that's a problem. You, that's what you don't want is like rascally people getting smart. You know what I mean? Like,
I would argue that rascally people are already smart and,
yeah,
you know.
You don't want them getting smarter, I guess, is what I want to say. Because, yeah, if you're a rascal, you know how to get away with things.
Yeah, you're bored. You're not mm-hmm. challenged. You are, you're like, fuck this. I'm, you know.
Or you're just stupid. Like testing. Yeah. Boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think, which is like fun as long as it's like me. I would like to be smart and rascally, but like other people, no, because there's power with that and that's bad and scary. Like, could you imagine, bless their hearts, but like imagine what sort of shit we would have been in the early 2000s had the cast of Jackass, like Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, Chris Pontius, if they had been Mensa level, like we would. Maybe none of us would be here today, but you know what I mean? It's like you don't want people who are willing to just embarrass themselves to that degree or, like, fuck with people to that degree to also be very smart, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's a lot of power.
It is a lot of power. So we're going to talk about some of the biggest pranks that Cole did. He, in college, we're calling him Cole here on out. Not Horace. Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. Cole. Yeah.
I like Horace, but Cole is easier.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
So he made some friends in college that were all very silly. Like, they're on the same level as him. Oh. They're all assholes. You know those guys Enablers. In college who are, they're fucking cool. They're hot. They're rich. They're, like, they're really fun.
Yeah,
And you want to hang out with them. But, you know, also, that's like a little, it's a bit much sometimes. It's like, can we just not?
Yeah. Even if they're like, there is something to all of this because pranks, you could get in trouble because they're, you know, you're like fucking with people.
Yeah.
And there is something fun to like being associated with that, but like being just on the outside of it where you get the thrill of it, but like you're not personally involved in it. And that's where I like to live my life.
Yeah, I like to live in the little, like, you know.
The safety net of not being a prankster. Well, because mostly I don't like pranks. They're mean. But, you know, if someone's going to, like, do something a little silly, I still like to be there and, like, see it.
Oh, yeah. I like the BTS of it all.
Yeah, but, yeah, me too. I'm such a hypocrite.
Sure. As long as nobody's hurting anything, because if you hurt somebody, I'm going to report your ass, like, immediately. You think?
Yeah.
Nobody's safe around me. So, in the early 1900s, it was announced that the Sultan of Zanzibar would be visiting England. This is, like, a big deal. It's, like, a diplomatic visit. Mm-hmm. And so, Cole and one of his best friends at the time, Adrian Stephen, who mm-hmm. happened to also be Virginia Woolf's younger brother, I think, they were like in cahoots. They were like buddies. They're like, let's do something silly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So what they did was they telegrammed the mayor of Cambridge's office and they were like pretending to be the, you know, the Sultan's people. saying that they are going to come visit the college, which is like totally a reasonable thing, like for a diplomat to do, come visit a college, I guess, in those days.
Oh, I thought you were saying like to prank, to like do this prank was totally reasonable. And I was like, it is. I feel like if you're in college, I don't know. This to me is like the very first instance of a phony phone call where it's like,
it's like a prank
both,
call.
Yeah. Where they're both just like, laughing to each other, and they're like, yes, hello, I'd like to send a telegram. I'm a sultan. Oh my God, shut up. You're fucking dude. Making me laugh. Right?
Oh, it's like, yeah.
That's a
100%.
That's how I envision it. It's like, oh my God, tell him it's from. Yeah, tell him it's from. Okay. The name, yeah, Harry. Oh, last name is Butts. Oh, shut up.
I'm his interpreter. Oh my God, it's just this is like the level, and nothing can be verified. There's no internet. There's no phone calls. It's all telegrams.
Yeah.
And like word of mouth, whatever. So. Yeah. Oh my God, this is so funny. So they all dress up in the Zanzibarian, like at the time, garb.
Yeah.
They go, you know, and it's just like all these people are, they don't know what the Sultan of Zanzibar looks like.
Yeah.
They don't know what their people look like. They're just like, they have a general idea based on, you know, newspaper and whatever.
Yeah.
And so they dress up, and they're definitely doing brown face in this shit. Like, it's bad.
It's not good.
And so they dress up to look like they're from Zanzibar, and they fully, like, they walk through their campus and do, like, a meet and greet and, like, look at some buildings, and it's just so
– They – oh, my God. Yeah, like, Stephen as – Stephen was the sultan, and Cole was the sultan's uncle. So, right. Like, and Stephen didn't talk. He did not say a word the entire time. And, like, because it was, you know, they're like, oh, he only speaks Zanzibarian or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the language would be. And so, and then Cole was like, but I speak English, blah, blah, blah. And so they got, yeah, they, like, it was a whole big to-do because the mayor thought that the Sultan of Zanzibar was coming to Cambridge and wanted a tour of, like, the college and shit. And so they, like, they created a reception for them, like a lunch reception at Guildhall, which is, like, you know, a government building, I think, like in Cambridge. And then they fucking took them on a tour of the college campuses in Cambridge and the town. Like, they were parading them around, and people were, like, in the streets being like, oh, my God, it's, like, a guy who's a sultan from, like, a foreign land.
Yeah, it was...
This is insane! And, like...
Oh, my!
Oh, my God!
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so rude. But yeah, people were like just totally freaked out. And then I guess they ended up like sneaking out the back door of like a building at some point and like hopping on a train or just like running away. Mm-hmm. And like everybody was like, what happened? It was very strange. And
they just took off out. Well, I think too, like the fun thing, because when I was first reading this, I was like, this is weird that no one even questioned. But then you're like, well, yeah, they didn't have the internet, like you said. So no one, you know, it's like you wouldn't know that this wasn't actually the Sultan.
Yeah.
But one thing that almost, like, ruined their little setup was there was a retired missionary who was part of the group that was, like, following them on the tour and everything. And she kept asking the Sultan questions in his native language. And they were like, fucking this bitch. Like, what the fuck is going on? She's going to ruin it. Yeah, what she's saying? We don't know what she's saying. Oh my God, tell her to stop. So Steven finally like piped up and was pretending to be bilingual and was like, lady, it's fine if you want to direct a question to the Sultan himself, but just so you know, the next time you do it, he'll add you to his harem. So like, just be ready. And she was like, oh, no, thank you. And yeah, I don't think the tour was very long. Like, some accounts, it sounded like it was a couple hours, but then another one, it was like an hour. So who knows? But yeah, eventually they just were like, okay, tour's over, and just like took off into the town, which is like, get back on the train and go to the next town down and then like finish your con. Like, yeah, commit the whole time.
They just took off their costumes, like changed, yeah, and then like went back to, you know,
school
campus, basically. Yeah.
They were college students.
And they were such dicks that they like went and did an interview the next day with the Daily Mail. We're like, yeah, we fucking pranked these assholes.
Oh my God. It's so rude. But also,
they didn't even get in trouble.
I know, but they pissed off the chancellor of Cambridge, who was like, oh no, they pissed off the mayor of Cambridge, and he went to the chancellor and he was like, you better punish these fucking assholes. They made me look like a dick. And the chancellor was like, no thanks, I don't care.
He's like, it's actually pretty funny. You're an idiot.
He's like, they're college kids. And you should have done your research. I'm sure there's someone you could have like cross-referenced this with. So
yeah, like everybody knows that the Sultan was like in fucking, I don't know, Greenwich or wherever. Whatever. I don't know. So where are places in London? I don't know.
Where are we? Yeah. What's happening?
So then they were like stoked. Cole and Steven were like, we fucking prank these motherfuckers. It's so easy. Let's do another one. This is the biggest prank they ever pulled off. And this is like famous.
Yeah.
This is called the Dreadnought Hoax. So in 1906, the British Army built this massive warship called the Dreadnought. It was the biggest, most expensive, most technologically advanced ship in the naval fleet. So this is a big deal. And this is like the news of the day. Everybody's like, holy fucking shit, we are the number one superpower. Everybody bow down. Fuck yeah, military.
They're like how America is now, but back then.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if America like built like a fucking huge destroyer with like truck nuts on it or something, like everybody be like, wow. I don't fucking know.
So. Oh my God. Do you watch Detroiters?
No.
Oh, there's a funny episode where they like pimp out a car and they put like three pairs of nuts on it. And they're like, yeah.
It's like a mutant.
The more nuts, the more man, baby. That's right.
That's not how that works.
That's
not
how that works. Yeah. Well, maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. So what they decided to do was, since this is like such a high profile do it, Stephen and Cole wanted to do was like, they wanted to like really see it. They're like, we want to get on this ship. We want to like fucking tour it. It's like open for, you know, diplomats and, you know, dignitaries to come see it. The British Naval Academy, whatever, they're all like fucking jizzing their pants over this. So they're like, let's see this thing up close and personal. So what they ended up doing.
It's like the equivalent of, you know, those Instagram museums they open in like LA where it's like the ice cream museum and you get to like swim in sprinkles. It's like that.
Yeah, for real. For real. And so they were like, we're going to get on the ship whether we're allowed to or not. So what they do is they round up some more friends and they're like, we're going to do like a similar prank basically. They get Virginia Woolf this time, Stephen's sister. They're like, come on, Virgie, we're going to get this prank popping. You're going to join us. And then a painter, Duncan Grant, I guess he's famous too.
Yeah.
So they all get together. They put on this this garb, this foreign, you know, dignitary garb. And they telegram again do the
you know prank, what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, am I right?
They did it, and they get on they telegram the Admiralty announcing that the Emperor of Abyssinia is, which is now modern day Ethiopia, is going to come check out the ship. And I guess they were like, cool, come on. Which I don't know why, but.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing to me. It's like Homeland Security, what, like, I guess didn't exist then, but it's like, why would you let anyone come look at, like, your prized warship that you just built that you're like, this is why we're number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, come steal our technology. Like,
yeah. Well, you should come look at, like, how fast this is and exactly how we made it. And also, if you want the blueprint, we sell it in the gift shop on your way out. So just, like, check that out. No, but they were like, this is the thing. They were so proud of it. Mm-hmm. They were, like, boasty.
They wanted to show their dick, like, to all the nations of the world. Yeah.
Fucking, their ship is a dick. It is the biggest, the fastest, the strongest in the whole world, and they want the whole fucking goddamn world to see it, okay?
Yeah.
So come on down.
And so they got a tour lined up, and they're all dressed up. Stephen and Cole actually ended up playing versions of themselves, like English, you know, attachés, translators, whatever.
Attachés.
I don't know.
I'm an attaché to the Emperor of Abyssinia.
Yeah, I'm a cultural attaché.
Yeah.
Oh,
birdcage, love it.
I know. So they learned, I guess, some Swahili words from a missionary, which I guess would sound close enough to the language that they spoke in this area at the time.
Well, they thought it would. They didn't know. Yeah, they're just like, we don't. It sounds just, like, foreign, so we'll just use this. But I don't think it's close.
Ignorant, racist idiots.
Yeah. It was 19-something, so. Yeah. 1910.
1908, yeah. I don't know. So they – and then the rest of the friends all played Ethiopian men, all dressed up. Even Virginia Woolf dressed up.
Oh, yeah. I love that part.
The brown black faces.
Oh, I don't like that part. Yeah, no. I don't like that part. But I love – I love that she was like
– she was a
rascal. They're like – yeah. And they were like, yeah, get in on this, girl. Like, yeah, let's you're go. One of us in this. We're going to do this together. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that part about it because I'm like, that's cool. And it's – I don't know. It's just like fun and
– it's very silly. So they do this whole tour and they were offered lunch. They declined it.
Oh, my God.
They probably were just like, we were just trying to get in and out. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Don't want to linger. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, well, yeah, they.
The more time that they're spending there, the more.
Exactly. Yeah. The more you're going to get caught. That's the thing with these pranks. It's like you got to be kind of, you kind of got to be in and out. Like you want to make a big enough impression that it's funny afterwards, but like you got to get out. And they were very smart, obviously. They're all very well to do and well educated. And they were like, oh, like we'd love to stay and have like a lunch with you guys. But actually, like because we're like royalty and royalty adjacent, like royalty support staff, we can only eat food that's like prepared a certain way.
They like understood enough like protocol and like had enough culture and knowledge of other ways that things work that it like was totally not like a rude or weird thing. And everybody's like, okay. And they totally did it. They pulled it off.
Fuck. Oh my God. It's.
And nobody really knew about it until, like, I think a few weeks later. The Daily Mirror came out with the fact that it was a prank.
Yeah.
And it was – and Cole, of course, sent in the like, information. Like, he had pictures of themselves. Like, he's like, yeah, this is me. This is Virginia Woolf. This is her brother. This is our other friend who's a painter.
Yeah, like, this is a woman in a beard and in brown face.
And so they, like, I guess, like, a thing that they kept saying while they were on the ship, anytime they would, like, be shown something cool, they would say, bunga bunga. Like, that was, like, their exclamation that they were very – like, they're expressing delight over something, which is, like, so fucking rude and racist.
Yeah,
but, so.
It's, that the fucked up thing about that is that, so, Yeah, there was like a photo published in the Daily Mirror, which is actually cool. You could look at it, which is like, it's kind of, I mean, yeah, it's like wildly racist. But also, the fun part about it is that it's like these young 20-somethings who like finagled their way onto a ship in costume and got away with it, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, kind of. But the actual emperor of Abyssinia actually came to England, like, not that long after, and was like, hey, yeah, I'd, like, love to see this boat. And they're like, I don't think so. And then was, like, walking around on, like, tours of London and shit, and people would run up to him and say bunga bunga.
Oh, that's rude as fuck.
Yeah, it's rude as fuck because that was the that the article was, like, you know, they, like, gave the phrase away and stuff. And it, I don't know if it was, like, to be rude to him. I think it was. But also people said bunga bunga to all the naval officers that they would see on the streets because
like
they were kind of like
idiots.
yeah they'd be like haha bunga bunga or whatever, but yeah, it all sounds and feels very racist and rude
in today's context. Absolutely. It is. Back then, yeah, like they didn't even know anything. They were just all a bunch of imperialist colonialist idiots who just
truly thought they were better than all of these people. Yeah. It is funny because Cole did end up allegedly getting his ass kicked by, like, a bunch of naval officers. They, like, came to his house and, like, beat the shit out of him.
I mean, he had to come.
I mean, yeah, it's like, how would you not think that this is going to happen to you, sir?
Yeah. So those are his two most famous pranks. He did so much other dumb shit throughout his life. God. This one is one of my favorites, though. These are some of his other pranks that he did. This, just imagining this is something. So he was on his honeymoon, and he ended up doing on his honeymoon was leaving piles of horse shit all over the town that they were staying in for their honeymoon. So that's what he did on their honeymoon, was just putting horse shit everywhere. Okay, just imagine being on your honeymoon with your husband, your brand new husband, and him being like, instead of fucking you in your hotel room or bungalow or whatever, he goes, I'm going to go out and leave shit everywhere. I'll be right back. Can you imagine? I just hate it so much. Don't worry. This lady that he married later divorced him, so.
Oh, my God. I kind of love this because of the context of, like, there were no horses there. I mean, it's still, like, dumb, and I don't know why you would waste your time doing this, but he did this and spent hours putting horse turds throughout the plaza so that the next morning when people woke up and, like, walked out into the, you know, bustling Italian city. There's
horseshit everywhere.
and then he's also banking that they know what horseshit looks like and are familiar with it enough that they'll be like, horseshit? Why is there horseshit here? And then he'll be like, it's so dumb. But
it's so dumb.
I appreciate it a little bit. I don't know. It's like, it's funny, but it's stupid. Yeah, it's like, why aren't you fucking your wife? You're on your honeymoon, goddammit. Yeah. And it's no wonder they're divorced.
Well, yeah. Well, they got divorced because he was really bad with money and invested a ton of his fortune in Canadian land. Didn't work out so well. Oof. Anyway.
Yeah.
So this is another really just gem of a prank that he used to do. So he would put a cow udder in his fly and walk around town bopping around and flopping this cow udder around.
Like he'd flash people his cow udder.
Yeah, and but, he'd pretend it was like his dick and he'd walk around and people would like eventually like be like, oh, sir.
Put like your goddamn dick away.
And he'd gather, like, he'd get so many people, like, ready to fucking beat the shit out of him. And then he'd take out a pair of scissors and, like, cut the cow on her. And then everybody'd be like, ah! So he'd wait for, like, a crowd. And then he'd just diffuse it by cutting it off. And everybody'd just be like, all right, fuck you, bye. Like,
yeah, that's, or they'd just be like puking in bushes and stuff. I'd be like freaking out. But also, I kind of love it because it's like kind of like, it's kind of like inspirational to women who are like being flashed. It's like, just run up and cut that guy's dick off. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I hope he like inspired women to just be like, sir, put that away or I'm going to cut it off.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah, I have my dick cutting knife with me.
Good day. Good day. I said good day.
He also did one. This is like alleged. Who knows if this really happened? So he did this theater prank where it's very rude to the performers of the theater, but I kind of love it because this was a very high-end theater in London's West End. Mm-hmm. He bought 8 front row seats. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. And he paid good money for these seats and put 8 men who had bald heads in these seats and wrote out bollocks on their heads, like BOLLOCKS. So on each head, so that people who were sitting above and behind them could see the word bollocks spelled out on these dudes' heads. And it was just like hysterical laughter, like throughout the performance.
From the upper audience. Mm-hmm. I thought he paid so many bald people, it spelled it out in heads, which would be so much more impressive. Like, I was like, he hired enough he found enough bald men to go to the theater for free on his dime to like literally spell out fuck or bollocks or whatever in people's heads.
No.
No, well, I think that's better.
That is better. No, what I think happened was he wrote the letters on their heads, and they're probably like wearing hats or something when they walked
in. Yeah, it's a
theater.
You have to dress up. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they took it off, and they spelled out. It was like being at a football game and seeing like your team's name spelled out, but it was
dude's bellies.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, we got to do that.
Yeah, and then the last little prank. Well, there's more. There's tons more. But
there's more.
This is kind of like a bigger one that he did too. He, this is the Piccadilly Trench. He and a bunch of friends dressed up as construction workers had police reroute traffic and dug a trench in the middle of the street of Piccadilly Circus, you know, like the roundabout.
Yeah.
And he and his friends dug this trench, ran up to their hotel room, and watched fucking chaos ensue, basically. Kind of funny. It kind of reminds me of that scene from Ghostbusters 2 where they're just like digging a hole in the middle of the street in New York, in downtown New York, and the cops are like,
oh my God,
what are you doing? I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's. I thought they were going to do it to like fuck with people driving through there, but I like that they just fucked with the cops. The cops are like helping them redirect traffic.
The cops
and then
are like, no problem.
Like blowing their little constable whistles and shit and like swinging their little thing. And then it's like all of a sudden they're all gone and they're like, wait, what happened? And then there's just a fucking huge trench in the middle.
And the cops just have their dick in their hands and they're like, what? They have their little cat
their
letters
in their hands. Yeah. Oh my God. I also loved the, did you read about the bottom party where like,
oh, it's my favorite. It's so funny.
He had a party. He just threw a party and like invited all these people, you know, and they just all showed up. And as like drinks and hors d'oeuvres are being served and people are getting to know each other and they're introducing themselves to each other because it was like all strangers.
Yeah.
They all realized that like they all had bottom in their last name somehow. So like the only people invited had last names that had bottom in it, like Higginbottom, Ramsbottom, Longbottom, etc. Like, they were just all the bottoms.
I was like, I saw this the bottom party, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Something much different. But it was literally everybody had bottom in their last name, and that is funny. That is funny.
It's so funny. It's so funny, too. Something like that is such a great and fun prank, because no one is hurt by that, and it's just right. fun, and it's like
and everybody... maybe you make a new friend.
And maybe you make a new friend. Maybe you meet a long-lost cousin. Maybe you, you like spark up a conversation with someone who you're not related to that you want to marry now, and you guys get to be like Rams Longbottom. Like, you get to like, oh my God.
long Rams Bottom. Oh my God. No, truly. That's a prank I can get behind. I think that's very fun.
Oh my God. And Rams Longbottom. I'm such a child.
He also bore a striking resemblance to in the 1920s. He mm-hmm. bore a striking resemblance to the prime minister of the time, who is a labor prime minister, Ramsay MacDonald, I guess. Mm-hmm. And
Ramsay MacDonald Bottom?
Yeah. Ram that McDonald bottom. So he looked a lot like this guy, and people were like, he looked like that guy. So he would take the opportunity to like rail against the labor party. Like, he would impersonate Ramsay MacDonald and be like, fuck labor or whatever, you know? So
yeah. It's like someone dressing up as like Lindsey Graham and going out and being like, fucking Republicans are garbage. Yeah. I love all the Democrat stuff. And then it's like, well, what?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that was very, very embarrassing for his sister, who is like married to the future prime minister, who they were like very embarrassed by him being just so outrageous. And then he's also suspected of being one of the accomplices or perpetrators of the Piltdown Man hoax, which was a paleoanthropological fraud, which bone fragments were presented as like fossilized remains of a previously unknown early human. Because like at this time, it was like a very new field of study. Everybody was in on it. It was very exciting. Lots of hoaxes happened, but people think he might have been involved in this, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of, I think Darwin was involved. I don't know. Or Darwin was fooled, maybe. It was weird. That's all to say, like, it was a very big deal. It was like a huge section we learned about in anthropology, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if it doesn't have a telegram in it, I'm not sure.
Not interested.
I think it doesn't have his fingerprint of a telegram. Yeah. And black or brown face. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's too sophisticated, honestly. Yeah.
Also, he did not have he had other wives, and like, he didn't have good luck with his wives. They all either left him or had children with his friends.
Yeah. His second wife ended up fucking one of his good friends, and they had a kid together. And then they fell apart because she was fucking another guy. She was something. And and she ended up shooting him or something in the stomach. It was like crazy.
What?
Crazy drama. Yeah.
Whoa. I know the son is still alive, and he had – DeVere Cole's last name.
Yeah.
He's an old man, and he like is a TV writer or something.
Wow. Cole ended up, I don't think he lived into very old age. He was like middle age when he died, but maybe he was like a little older. But he would just walk around farting all the time. Like, he was just like like tooting up a storm everywhere he went. But he'd try to do the thing where you cough, where you like try to cough and cover the fart noise.
Yeah, like you make a fart noise and I'll do a cough.
Okay. But his farts were way louder than his cough, because also and, remember.
Like, poorly timed.
Yeah. Also remember, he like always had hearing issues because of his bout with diphtheria when he was a kid. But also, like, getting older, that just happens. Like, and
they just come out.
Your toots just come out. Your hearing gets worse. So
it's not even your sphincter betrays you at the end. It just deteriorates. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, what sphincter at the end of your life? You know,
it's like, and it's just like you feel it slowly eroding, but you're like, what can you do?
You're also like, I'm old, I don't care. I remember my grandma farting one time when she was babysitting us, and I don't think I'd ever heard her fart. And
she was like a lady, so you were like,
whoa. Yeah, she was like, yeah, and just very like, I don't know, Catholic, and I don't just never heard
proper,
a fart. And
yeah.
She, yeah, proper, and she like was opening the door, and like a fart slipped out, and I was like, oh. And I, like, didn't know what to do, but I was, like, delighted and scared, you know? I was like, she farted. And then, but then I was like, oh, no, what is it? Like, do I have to
what
acknowledge
does this mean?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she was like, it just happens. And I was like, oh. Like,
she was okay. Not wrong. Yeah. It just, yeah. It does just happen.
It does just happen.
Aw, Grandma.
I know.
Well, he passed away in 1936.
Yeah.
Tooting away.
Tooting, toot sweet in France.
Yeah, I think he was alone by then. Like, his wives had all left him. And
tooting tout le jour. That's every day. Just tooting.
Toot, toot. Toot, toot sweet.
Toot sweet.
Yeah, he died in France. That's why we're making French jokes.
Yeah.
But what a life. He really did some crazy things. My favorite thing about him is that he was friends with Virginia Woolf, and she was, like, in on the fun pranks. Like, cool. Love that.
Yeah.
What a fun journey for her.
I love that they were, like, woke enough to let a woman into their group and were like, yes, women can be funny, too. It's
but
like
not woke just... enough to not do brown face or black face.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, I think that was bad. That was not cool. But I do love that they kind of, like, only – they really pranked a lot of higher profile, kind of, like, whatever. And none of these pranks were really all that
– they're pretty harmless.
Like, pretty harmless, but I feel like the pranks were kind of on the man. Like,
oh,
they were
100%.
Kind of,
that was
and
his
that's
bread
what's
and butter.
Fun about it. Yeah, that's – I think that's what's pretty fun about it, so.
Totally. His main objective was to prank people who are in power, people who are, you know, pompous, full of themselves, thought that they – like, it was truly just to – it was a very what's the word? Lampooning was his directive. Like, that was his main goal, was to stick it to the man, make, like, people in power look stupid.
He truly was kind of a Banksy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
He's just a Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, he's a Sacha Baron Cohen. So, like,
Sacha Baron Cohen is an actor. He's he was, like, a presenter at the Academy Awards. He's, like, up there. He's a serious actor sometimes.
Yes, but he also does it for, like, political commentary, mm-hmm. which this guy, I don't know that it was so much that.
He,
like,
did do political commentary when he would pretend to be the prime minister.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's
true. To rally against the Labor Party, so.
Yes, that's true. That's true, yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Of 1900s, early 1900s.
Yeah, of the Spanish flu era.
Yeah.
Pranks in the time of
Diptera.
Everything.
Diptera.
Diptera. Diptera. Diptera? I don't know. Who knows if I ever said that right?
Did I just have a stroke?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Well, that's all I got.
Yeah, same. Follow us on social media at DTFU Podcasts everywhere.
Go to our website, dtfupodcast.com. All kinds of new fun stuff on there for you.
Oh, my God. So
check out our events page. Go get your postcards.
Mm-hmm. Get your bandana.
Get your bandana. Let's have fun. Let's do our postcard party together. Also, it's going to be DJ'd by
Brian Derrick.
Brian
Derrick.
Our
buddy. You know him? Yep, you know him and love him from the Facebook group.
Yes.
Yeah, he is going to DJ for us. We're probably going to have some brunch-themed drinks. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do some giveaways or something. We don't know.
Ugh. Who knows?
Who knows? We don't know. It's a weeks away, but you need to get your postcards.
Yeah, get that in because, you know, the postal service is struggling right now. So
yikes. They're ripping mailboxes out of towns.
And yeah. Let's support the USPS. Let's get these postcards mailed out. Let's do it. Let's go, girls.
Yeah. Let's go, girls.
I feel like a woman. Okay.
Ow.
I love you, Shania Twain. Good night and good luck. You guys, be excellent to yourselves
and each other.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.